Instructor. Do you want to travel abroad and have a life-changing experience? Isaac UBC offers different internships for all kinds of specialties. We are looking for students interested in fields such as the HIV/AIDS pandemic, community empowerment, business administration, education, environment, and sustainability, and much more. If you're interested in working abroad or helping out on campus, please contact ubc.aiesec@gmail.com. That's ubc.aiesec@gmail.com. It's up to you.
Still looking ugly out there?
And getting worse by the minute. The last batch of supplies will never make it before the flood. It's like last year all over again.
The baker's just been with his delivery, and the new wine glasses are waiting in the kitchen.
Good. What about the candlesticks?
No sign. We may just have to go without.
Great. You can be sure they'll be hearing from me. Oh, and could you tell Gavin to get off his lazy ass and come help us with the furniture?
Yes, ma'am. Gladly.
I'll see you out back. Here, pass me that. Actually, could you handle those folks first?
I'm on it.
Welcome to Halsey, gentlemen.
They're all in my apartment. And honestly,
I still don't see what this has anything to do with the chicken.
Don't worry about it. I'll explain later.
A room?
Huh? Oh, sure, if you have any. Preferably with a nice roaring fire.
You're in luck. We still have a few left. If you could sign here. Thank you. Here's the key. Hope you enjoy your stay and the celebrations.
What celebrations?
I think there's a solstice or moon phase or something, if I recall. Eclipse, maybe?
Solstice, yes. Do feel free to join us in our festivities in the main hall tonight.
Hello.
So, Mar, do you want to get a good night's rest or shall we join the party?
Not more bills, I hope.
The guests probably won't let us sleep anyways.
Hold on a tick.
Hux? Huxley?
Well, now. Hey, if it isn't Mar. What are you doing here?
It's been, what, 5, 6, 7 years?
Forever.
No kidding. And you're a mailman now.
Mail woman. But, yeah, you know me, inevitable I'd go postal. Sorry, I had to. Yourself?
You know, this and that.
But mostly that.
You have no idea. Oh, by the way, Hux, this is Crowther. Crowther Huxley.
Nice to meet you, Crowther.
My pleasure.
And as it happens, you're just the man I'm looking for.
Me? What could you possibly...
A parcel for you, sir.
Oh.
A parcel?
Don't get jealous, Mar. A late delivery due to the storm and festivities and all. I do apologize, but here it is.
Your timing couldn't be better. Thank you, Huxley.
You know, all in a day's work, rain or shine. But speaking of work, I've really got to trot. Listen, Mar, it's been great running into you, and we should absolutely catch up sometime, but not that you can catch up with me. another postal joke. We're really fast. Get it? Company motto? Never mind.
You haven't changed a bit.
What can I say? Hey, wish I could stick around for the festivities. I hear it's going to be so much fun, but no rest for the wicked. Evening, gents. Bye.
Now, how did she know we were here?
The island post is a mystery to us all.
Hmm.
Well, what is it?
Could you give me a minute?
Demons. Written and produced by Clem Levine. Episode 9. Betrayal. Part 1.
Come on, are you going to keep me in suspense forever? What's in the parcel?
I can't go into details, but...
But what?
I'm afraid, Mar, that I must bid you a hasty farewell.
Farewell? Hold on, what, why?
Certain things have come up. I'm urged to begin my quest for the Rainmakers.
Urged? Hang on a sec, I don't understand. I thought you were here on your own terms.
And to a degree that is correct. But this parcel changes a few things, and I have to set out right away.
But... But the dungeon quest, the demon, the treasure. You're breaking up the gang?
First off, I'm not sure two can quite make up a gang. Second, I have every confidence in that you can do it just as well in your own. Who knows? Maybe I'll be faster than expected and can join you down the line. There are 5 temples left to go, after all. Plenty to do.
Hang on. If you capture the Rainmakers, you won't need my quest anymore. You won't need this island. You'll just be gone.
Don't be so sure. Oh, I almost forgot. Take this. It might be more useful for you than me.
What is it?
It's a protection amulet.
Well, where did you get it from?
Cal. He gave it to me when I found him in the woods. I meant to show it to you earlier, but like I said, I forgot. Still, it's better with you. Oh, don't look so glum. Come on, I'll stay for the festivities tonight. Let's go have a drink.
Oaks, could you step by my office, please?
Corrigan, hi. I didn't know you were back yet. How did it go with the interview?
Not now, Oaks. What's this I hear about the commander?
Oh, you heard. Look, I tried, Corrigan. I really did. It's just that...
I'm sure you did. He's a difficult man. I can't imagine it was easy. Still, I leave the planet for a few days and he goes and gives himself concussion by exploring island tombs. What is going on?
I really shouldn't have sent him there, should I?
No, you shouldn't. Not alone, at any rate.
But he has been rescued. Edmunds got him out and had a medic look him over on site. Slight headache is all that's left, really.
I'll give him more than a slight headache when he returns. How on earth did he manage it? What happened there? What is this place?
The team is piecing it together right now. The commander claims to have been attacked by unknown assailants.
Good grief.
As for the source of the energy signal that brought us there, we have yet to make progress.
Fine. I'll take care of this from here. Oh, and another thing. What's all this about, First Officer?
Pardon?
First Officer Oaks, ring a bell.
Oh.
Oh?
Sorry. I guess I did slip there. It was in the best intentions.
Which were?
Well, you know.
No, frankly, I don't, Oaks. I leave you in my stead and you go and promote yourself to First Officer. Is plain old Oaks not good enough for you?
No, I got nervous. The commander is so commanding.
I can't imagine how. I should have known your imagination would run away with you. You do realize we don't even have a First Officer here. We're not a military base, despite what some wannabe macho men would like to think. You've been reading too many naval romances, I reckon.
Starship logs, actually. Voyages of the SS Asimov is my
favorite. That wasn't a request, Oaks, to join your book club.
No, right. I'm sorry, Corrigan. It was a silly thing to do.
Quite so. Well, let's just hope the commander didn't notice it. If he does, there will be questions, and I don't need that right now.
Yes, Corrigan.
Anyway, I have his mess to clean up now. You're dismissed, Oaks.
Yes, Corrigan.
Shall we mingle?
I want to see you on that dance floor before the night's through.
Are you asking for a dance?
Sod that, no. You know what? Why don't you go and ask that cute blue number to dance? Go on, dare you.
You know what? Maybe I shall. Barman, another drink here.
Whoa, man, I love your cloak, dude.
Where are you from?
Denora.
Get out of town. Fellow Denorian, high five, dude.
Yes, high five.
I so need to get a picture of that. Yeah, I'm traveling the globe, came here to study.
Botany?
What?
Shut up, Mar.
Botany? No,
ignore him.
Oh, right. Well, I'm studying photography.
Yeah?
Anyhow, great to meet you. See you on the dance floor. I love this party. Woo-hoo!
Oh, yeah! Bang a gong! Get it on!
Hey, watch it! Hang on. Is Zekel?
Oh!
Is that you?
Hi, chaps!
You've got to be kidding.
Say, don't I know you?
You're hammered.
That's a matter of opinion. Cheers!
What the devil are you doing here?
Me? Doing? Oh, my ass of a brother Kel sent me out here on the pretense I was judging a beauty pageant. Instead of lovely nymphs, I'm making balloons for little monsters. The devil with that. Look, watch where you're going, jerk.
Oh, I do beg your pardon, sir. Gentlemen.
Oh, shove off. Where was I? Oh, yeah, still. Good grub. And they keep the drinks flowing. Get it on!
What a merry fellow our friend is.
Yeah, I just hope he keeps his wand under control.
For everybody's sake.
Absent the green tree. Oh, I must excuse myself. There's someone at the door. And how may I help you, friends?
We want a room.
Yeah, make it snappy.
It's pouring out there.
I'm afraid we're all booked up.
Sure you are. But unless you want trouble, you better fix something up real quick.
Yeah, real quick. Or we're going to mess up this place real good. Really.
I really wouldn't advise that.
Oh, you couldn't,
We do have security on the premises, and they would have no problem escorting you off.
Is that so?
Yes. Now, would there be anything else?
I think she...
Quit your thinking, Spool. There's no time for that.
Look, it's right there on the wall. No
aggroving assaults. Violators will be dealt with in equal fashion. Oh, heck, Spool. We don't like this place anyway.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. This place stinks. Really smells. It ain't raining so bad now.
Spool.
I know a good cave nearby if the gobbers haven't taken over it.
Spool.
Oh, coming. Wait for me.
But we do have room, Mom.
I know, but would you let to those ruffians?
They're no worse than most folks we get in here.
Shut up, Gavin.
Commander?
Good to hear from you, Corrigan. Feeling better, I trust? Your voice sounds a bit different.
Yes, better, thanks, sir. Oh, where are you? All the other scouts have returned, sir.
I've been taken off course by the storm, unfortunately.
I read you not far from the base. You're not moving. Have you broken down? I can send out support immediately.
No, I'm fine. I've come across as a settlement of sorts.
Settlement? Populated? Oh, for goodness sakes, Commander, do not interfere.
I know my job, Corrigan. Thank you. However, I'm getting a signal from nearby. It's very close. Very, very close.
What do you plan on doing, sir?
I'm going to investigate.
Commander, must I remind you that we...
Easy, Corrigan. There's no need to get excited. I'll be cautious.
Let it be on record that I cannot recommend this course of action.
Noted. I'll keep you updated. Going offline for a bit. Hello? Hello?
Just a moment. Good evening, sir. Would you be looking for a room?
A room? Yes. Yes, why not? My, it's raining pretty hard out there. You wouldn't have any space left in your stable, perhaps?
For a horse? I can get someone to help you with that.
Oh, not a horse. It's a bike.
Ah.
I mean cart.
Oh, cart, okay.
Well, it's cartish, but more like a bike, really.
Okay.
Anyhow, I'd rather it not get washed away.
Why don't we get you checked in and we can settle that after? How does that sound?
Oh, fine.
Your name?
Command, the name is...
Would you like something to drink?
I've seen your eyes wandering.
Then I suggest you pay less attention to my eyes.
What about that one? The lady in black? She's quite striking. Go on, now's your chance for that dance. Get stuck in.
Okay. Here goes. I feel like my luck has been picking up.
Apart from the blue number.
We won't talk about the blue number.
Agreed. Good luck.
See. Excuse me. But have we met before?
Quite possibly. I happen to run this place.
I guess the customary step of offering you a drink is rather fruitless.
On the contrary, I'm not one to refuse a glass of wine. That would be most rude.
Then allow me. Garçon.
Thank you. Cheers.
Do you, dance?
I do. Do you?
It's a matter of some dispute.
Now I have to know. Oh, bad timing.
Excuse me, Mom.
Yes, Gavin?
They're ready for you.
Oh, now? I'm sorry.
Crowther.
I'm sorry, Crowther, but I have something I must attend to. Excuse me.
How's everyone doing? I hope you're having a good time. I know I am. But now, ladies and gentlemen, a special treat. I'd like you to welcome our very own Lady of the House to perform a song for us. Please give a huge round of applause for Lady Blackmore!
Thank you. I hope you're all enjoying yourselves. I'd like to sing you a favourite tune of mine. You might be familiar with it. It goes a little something like this.
I'm lonely and I'm longing
with a silence I can't bear. I can wait until forever comes if I know that you'll be there. You only have to say hello, and I'm lost for words. When your voice hits my ears, it's the sweetest sound I've heard. Which is strange.
Another one of these, barman. Straight, no chaser.
Combustive dwarf for me. Tall. Hey, are you doing all right? I've seen that look before. You've lost a girl.
You know, I don't see how it can... Oh, it's you, Zekel.
Hey, do I know you? I'm not doing autographs, you know. Talk to my manager.
Autographs? What? Manager? No. It's me, Mar. We talked maybe 5 minutes ago, remember?
Nope, not in the slightest.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter.
Oh, what's eating you?
Crowther and I are splitting ways. He's got a new quest or something.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, mate. But you know, you can't win them all.
Wait, no, it's not like that at all.
What isn't?
It's just, you know, it's the first time I've had a friend. Or at least that's what I thought.
Ah, friends. Who needs them, right?
Oh, that's pretty much exactly the opposite of what I just said.
Oh, I can't remember what you said. Barman! Another one!
You know what? Why don't you go bother someone else, Zekel? I'm heading to my room.
Okay. But don't you go doing anything stupid, all right?
What could I possibly do? What an arse.
Though I don't know what to say, here I am just dreaming, staring, killing time, just wondering when you will be mine. I'm wondering when you will be mine.
Listening to Rainbow Demons, written and produced by Klim Levine. With Matthew Spears as Crowther, Sam Trounce as Mar, Angela Dennis as Blackmore, Simon Roberts as Commander, Louise Samuels as Corrigan, additional voices by Osmond Bramble, Stephen James, Mari McFarlane, Michael Stewart, Michelle Neal, Matthew Simmons, and Alex J. Campbell. Blackmore's song is written and performed by Eddie Lamb, Britt McLeod, and Tony Moser. Additional music by Van Django. Visit rainbowdemons.com to subscribe and like us on Facebook.
To be continued.
Are you ready?
Yep. Rolling.
That needs to come from Klim. You can't just say, we're rolling, Matt.
Okay, we're rolling. The music, truth is, I
Dance Horizons provides affordable classes and encourages students to get involved with the community to develop as dancers.
Our classes are open to all skill levels, with styles ranging from hip-hop to ballet, and are taught by professional instructors.
We're running some exciting events in the next week.
Our dancers will be visiting Harvard Dance Center and are putting on a show on campus on December 3rd. If you want to see us dance to this song, visit UBC Dance Horizons on YouTube.
Salam, روزتون بخیر. My name is Sahan, the president of UBC Persian Club.
And this is Yasaman, the VP admin.
UBC Persian Club is a non-profit student organization with the goal of empowering the Iranian community at UBC by acting as a social hub for Iranian students, bringing together diverse members of the community who have a common interest in Iranian culture, and nurturing and representing the Iranian community in Vancouver.
We have monthly member-exclusive events, Pelon, we screen documentary movies and short films by Iranian directors with English subtitles. Gatherings, a series of casual music gatherings at which students can play different types of instruments, and sports events and game nights.
Our regular events are member exclusive and you will receive 25% discount on our annual events. You can visit us at ubcpc.com or email us through info@ubcpc.com.
Or you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram or Twitter.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit LiveMusicVancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. LiveVan.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news, as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
And its 98,000 dealers bring you Mr. Lloyd Nolan in tonight's presentation of Suspense. Tonight, Autolite presents a true story of crime and punishment. The fame of this actual case rests with the singular qualities of its characters. The detective is no better than ordinary, and the killer is a man without a future. The story is called The Man with Two Faces. Our star, Mr. Lloyd Nolan.
Hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hi, Sam, my friendly Autolite spark plug man. How's the advocate of those able, admirable, and advantageous Autolite spark plugs?
Oh, I'm fine, Mr. Wilcox.
You sure are, Sam, and that's why I tell car owners to bring their cars into you for a spark plug checkup. You know, Sam, that unless spark plugs are operating properly, you won't get the smooth and economical performance you expect from your car.
It pays to have spark plugs checked every 3,000 to 5,000 miles, Arlo.
Right you are, Sam. And if cleaning or adjustments are needed, your friendly Autolite spark plug dealer has the latest equipment to give you the best spark plug service money can buy. And if he finds your spark plugs are worn out or wrong for your style of driving, your Autolite spark plug dealer will replace them with the world-famous ignition-engineered Autolite spark plugs, either standard or resistor type. To locate him, look for the Autolite spark plug sign, or just phone Western Union by number and ask for Operator 25. She'll tell you the name of your nearest Autolite spark plug dealer. And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite presents The Man with Two Faces, the documented story of an actual crime, starring Lloyd Nolan, hoping once again to keep you in suspense.
They dug him up on my birthday. He was 6 feet tall and 4 feet under. It was just an accident. They were digging in a cellar and they found the buried packing case. They hauled it out and opened it. Inside the case, they found a steamer trunk. They opened that. He was jammed inside, doubled up, his knees against his chest. All he had for company was a pile of quicklime. He was wearing a blue suit, a big smile, and two holes in his skull. The best dressed skeleton you ever saw. My name? Palachek, Gus R. Detective Lieutenant, badge number 1416. I've been a cop for the city of Cleveland for 19 years. The last 14 of them, I've worked out a homicide. I'm not a Chowderhead and I'm not a Sherlock Holmes. I'm strictly average. I try to make it with what I've got. If that doesn't do, they call for a smarter man. They should have had one around the day they dug up the skeleton. We completed our preliminary investigation at the spot where the packing case was uncovered. There wasn't much. I drove back downtown to check with the medical examiner. Hey, Sam. How's it going?
Oh, hi, Gus. Happy birthday.
Yeah, it sure is. You about done with him?
Just finished. Don't envy you.
Find anything at all?
No question, it's a homicide. Where'd they dig him up, anyway?
Basement of an empty building out on Euclid Avenue.
Mm.
Hey, by the way, how long would you say he's been dead?
About 3 years.
And they had to dig him up on my birthday.
There's a few things here that might help you.
What's that?
Possible description of the victim. It's only partial. I figured it out from the skeleton, size of the bones, general structure.
Uh-huh. What else?
This piece of bridge work here. Put in a little leg work. You might find the dentist who made it.
You go through the clothing?
Here's the label that was sewed inside the coat.
Custom tailors since 1885, 10th near Parkway.
That's it.
Dead at least 3 years.
That's the way I figured, 3 years. Looks like a long hike for you, Gus.
Let's hope it's not for nothing. As I say, masterminds don't run in our family. I have a tough enough time figuring a homicide that's 3 hours old, let alone one that's going on for 3 years. With me tracking a killer, strictly hammer and saw work, I grab what I figure's the strongest lead and start hiking from there. The next day, I checked with the custom tailors who had their label in the suit we find on the skeleton.
This suit here?
That's right. It's got your label on it. You remember who you sold it to?
What's the matter? Is this some kind of a joke?
I don't pound the pavement for laughs. What are you talking about?
Well, this isn't my suit. It's a fake.
Huh?
Look, in my whole life, I never made a suit like this. It's a fake. Somebody took my label and sewed it into a cheap store suit.
You sure of that?
Well, naturally, I'm sure. Here. Look.
Yeah?
Look at how it's made. This is not hand stitching. It's stitching made by a machine. Cheap store suit.
The label on the suit was an obvious plant, something the killer figured throw us off the track. This being true, then why did he leave behind something as telltale as a piece of bridge work in the mouth of his victim? I had another talk with the medical examiner. We double-checked the victim's remains.
I don't see what we're going to prove from this piece of bridge work.
Say, what's the average number of teeth a man has?
See? Full-grown male? 32.
Uh-huh. And how many did you count in the victim's mouth?
31. Only had one extraction, a molar. I could tell that. I see what you mean.
Only one tooth pulled. Yet he had a bridge loose in his mouth with four molars in it. That's 35 in my book.
Yeah, three more than any normal man could possibly have.
Yeah.
Well, why would the killer plant a piece of bridge work? What for?
When I find him, I'll ask him. That made two phony plants the killer had made. The piece of bridge work and the suit label. I looked for one more. I found it. The victim's hair had remained intact. It was dark brown and gray. I took a couple of specimens and had them checked.
Someone's playing games, Gus.
How do you mean, Doc?
A specimen of the dark brown hair. It's fine, silky texture.
Uh-huh.
Gray hair's thick, coarse. Big difference.
Possible they could have come from the same head?
Not a chance in the world.
Three phony plants. The bridge work, the label, and the hair. I began to wonder about the packing case and the steamer trunk the skeleton had been found in. The trunk was a cheap mass-produced item. 3 years' worth of mildew wrecked any chance of picking some kind of a lead from it. The packing case which contained the trunk was a little different. There was block lettering on one side of it. It spelled out the name of George Gallagher. Below that, it read Harrisburg Avenue. But where the street number would have been, the surface of the packing case had been scraped away. I started to work on the packing case angle. I had the manager of one of the factories in town that makes them look at the case. It wasn't standard size. It was a custom-made job, built to hold the murder trunk and nothing else. That's when the legwork began. Weeks of it, months. February, March, April, May. I covered every factory that made packing cases for 100 miles around. Got me nothing. I kept at it. June 5th. I checked the small box factory about 50 miles south of town. The manager's name was Higgins.
Let's see now. I thought I recalled it. Oh, yeah, here it is.
The same dimensions I gave you, Mr. Higgins?
Exactly. An odd-sized case. That's why I remembered it. Yeah, this is it, all right.
Did you take the order for it?
No, Carl did. Carl Pearson. He was the other clerk.
How do you mean he was?
Well, Carl's dead, poor fellow. Sick for a long time and passed away 3-4 months ago.
Well, do you have the name of the man who ordered the case, Mr. Higgins?
Yeah, right here. It was George Gallagher. Yeah, Gallagher.
And you people delivered the packing case?
That's right.
Where?
Harrisburg Avenue, number 6913.
First real break in 6 months. It had finally arrived. I felt pretty good about things on our way back to the city. The feeling didn't last long. When I got to the right block on Harrisburg Avenue, I find out that the delivery address for the packing case did not exist. 6913 Harrisburg Avenue was a vacant lot. I started canvassing every house in the neighborhood. No one had seen a packing case of any size delivered anywhere near the vacant lot. Took a week of climbing stairs, pushing doorbells before I found a neighborhood gossip who claimed that she had seen the packing case delivered. Her name was Emma McKenzie.
Why, yes, of course I remember it. I remember seeing it standing there that day.
Standing where, Mrs. McKenzie?
Well, right at the front of that empty lot down the street. Large packing case, half of it blocking the sidewalk. Oh, certainly made me mad.
Well, how do you mean, man? What made you mad?
Well, there were a couple of nails sticking out of the case. And on my way to the store that afternoon, I happened to pass by it, and my coat got caught on one of the nails. My good black coat. Oh, it made a terrible rip.
I see.
Yes. I turned to this young fellow standing next to the case, and I really told him. I remember very well. It was just last year.
Excuse me, ma'am. You said last year?
Yes, that's right. Happened about a year ago. Well, maybe a little longer.
You're sure that it wasn't 2 or maybe 3 years ago?
Oh, no, I remember distinctly. At the most, I'd say it couldn't have been more than, 14 or 15 months ago.
Well, now, this young fellow that was standing next to the packing case, you remember, you happen to remember what he looked like, ma'am?
Well, not in any detail, no. He was tall, though, on the thin side. And he had buck teeth, I remember that. Used foul language.
But how old would you say he was?
Oh, not more than 28 or 30.
Uh-huh. Now, how about his hair? You remember what color it was?
Why, yes. It was blonde.
When I finished talking to Mrs. McKenzie, I didn't know where I stood. Either I was wrong about the killer's hair being dark brown or gray, or else there was more than one man mixed up in the homicide. And more important, the case was only 1 year old. So somewhere along the line, the medical examiner made a mistake, a big one. Maybe it was the quicklime that threw him off, I don't know. The important thing was he was wrong. So the basement of the building wasn't vacant at the time the body was buried. I checked back with the owners of the building and found out that at the time it was occupied by a laundry that had since gone out of business, the White Star Laundry. The owner and manager turned out to be a Myron Wagner. I finally located him at his home in the south end of the city the night of the 4th of July. It was a big gray house set well back off the street. Wagner was an Austrian immigrant, pleasant, cooperative. I interviewed him in the dimly lighted living room. It was a hot night. Outside, you could hear the kids with their fireworks.
What can I do for you, Lieutenant?
Well, it's just a couple of questions for you, Mr. Wagner, trying not to hold you up.
Oh, that's all right. I'm not going anyplace. What is it you wanted to know?
You owned and operated a laundry in the basement of a building downtown on Euclid Avenue, is that right?
Yes, that's right. We are out of business now, though, have been for some time.
You closed down about 12, 14 months ago?
Yes, that's right. We didn't have much luck.
Now, I'd like a straight answer, Mr. Wagner. Did you ever know a young fellow by the name of George Gallagher? Mr. Wagner?
Yes, I know the boy. I guess I should say I knew him.
You tell me anything about him?
Well, he came to me one day asking for a job. George did. I thought he was a nice-looking fellow. He was tall and blonde and clean-looking. I hired him as a night watchman in the laundry. He seemed to like the job. We got along fine together.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
But then, one night, I went back to the laundry to get my briefcase. There were some tax papers in it I wanted. But after I got them, I went down to the basement to say goodnight to George. He met me on the stairs, a crazy look on his face. I didn't know what was wrong with him. I didn't know if he was drunk or what it was.
What'd he do?
Oh, yeah, he screamed at me. Go back. Don't come any further. Come down here and I'll brain you. I'll brain you. Well, I got out as fast as I could. I thought he'd been drinking.
You happen to see what he was doing down in the basement?
No. He had a shovel in his hands. That's all I remember.
All right, what happened? You fire him?
Well, I didn't have the chance. He left that night. He never came back.
Did you read in the paper about the body that was dug up from the basement?
Yes.
You think Gallagher's responsible?
Well, I don't know what else to think. Oh, I can never forget it. He came up the stairs toward me, screaming at me, holding that shovel, screaming. And his hands.
Yeah?
Both his hands. Covered with blood.
Autolite is bringing you Mr. Lloyd Nolan in The Man with Two Faces. Tonight's presentation in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Say, Harlow, you want smoother performance, quick starts, and double spark plug light?
I sure do, Sam, and I know you're talking about the outstanding advantages of the Autolite resistor spark plug. The greatest advancement in spark plugs for automotive use in the past 20 years.
I sure am, Harlow, because...
Because the Autolite resistor spark plug is original equipment on many leading makes of our finest cars. And, like the complete line of ignition-engineered Autolite spark plugs, is famous throughout the world for quality and performance.
And you get something extra with the Autolite resistor spark plug.
And that's the exclusive Autolite 10,000-ohm resistor built right into every Autolite resistor spark plug to make possible such extra advantages as smoother performance, quick starts, and double spark plug life. So, friends, see your nearest Autolite spark plug dealer. Have him check your spark plugs, and if replacements are needed, he'll install ignition-engineered Autolite spark plugs, either standard or resistor type. And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite. And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. Lloyd Nolan in Elliot Lewis's production of The Man with Two Faces, a true report well calculated to keep you in suspense.
I talked to Myron Wagner for another hour, but I got nowhere. He was sure of the time and date he'd seen George Gallagher in the basement of the laundry, and he was sure he'd seen blood all over Gallagher's hands. He couldn't give me any idea who the victim might have been, and he didn't know a thing about Gallagher's possible whereabouts. I asked him why he didn't report it at the time, and he told me he was afraid the bad publicity might hurt his laundry business. The next break came in early October. We found a pawn shop in the downtown area that had loaned $20 on a watch to a George Gallagher almost 22 months before.
The watch had never been redeemed. It had a name engraved on its back, Albert L. Henderson. The city directory had an A.L. Henderson listed at a Hanford Street address. I checked it out. A dark-haired woman who identified herself as Mrs. Henderson answered the door after the preliminaries I showed her the watch.
Yes, my husband's watch. Where did you get that?
Where's your husband now, Mrs. Henderson? Is he home?
No. I don't know where he is.
Well, when do you expect him home? Can you tell me that?
Well, no. You see, he's gone. He's got in some trouble. He ran away.
When was this, ma'am? How long ago?
Oh, about 2 years. 2 years in November next month. He was partnerships in business. He stole the money. He ran away.
You any idea where he is now, Mrs. Henderson? You ever hear from him?
No. Never. No letters, nothing. He went away one day. He never came back.
Uh-huh. Who told you about your husband stealing the money? His business partner?
Yes. Mr. Hoffman. Myron Hoffman. He's a nice man. Albert was lucky to have him for a partner. I don't know why he did it.
Now, about this watch, Mrs. Henderson. Did your husband ever pawn this watch at any time?
What, pawn his watch? Oh, not Albert. That's the last thing he would let go.
Well, one thing I can't understand. Why didn't you ever make an attempt to find your husband? File a missing persons report.
Why should I want to find him? Thief. No good. Let him stay missing. I don't want to find him.
This business partner of your husband's, ma'am, this Mr. Hoffman, where can I get in touch with him, do you know?
No, I guess I don't. He went away, I guess, I think a year ago, maybe longer.
You got any idea where he might have gone?
Well, I don't know. He seemed to talk a lot about New York City. I never asked him, but I thought that's where he came from. They were always talking about New York City, him and John.
Who's John?
That's Mr. Hoffman's nephew, John Mueller. He worked for my husband and Mr. Hoffman in the business.
Oh, I see. Well, I'd like to locate them if I could, ma'am. Can you describe Hoffman and his nephew for me, please?
Well, I guess Mr. Hoffman was about 50, 52. Gray hair, about my height, 5 feet 6 inches.
Uh-huh.
His nephew John was tall, little thin maybe. He had blonde hair. He was a young fellow, about 30 years, I think.
Are you sure of that description, are you?
Oh, yes, they came here to the house for dinner a few times, both John and Mr. Hoffman. I knew them.
Would you give me a description of your husband?
Albert? Well, he was a big man, as tall as the nephew John. Dark hair, gray eyes, 43 years old. He was a heavy man, 180 pounds, I think. Why do you want to know, officer?
How about your husband's teeth, Mrs. Henderson? At the time he disappeared, did he still have his own?
Oh, yes. Albert had wonderful teeth. Strong.
Uh-huh. Did he ever have one of his teeth pulled out, do you know?
Yes, just one. Why?
I guess that does it.
Does it? Well, this makes no sense. I don't think I like this.
No, ma'am. I don't think Albert liked that either. The next day, we got out an all-points bulletin on Myron Hoffman and his nephew, John Mueller, alias George Gallagher. We finally tied in the last piece of evidence. The day after I took a train for New York City, I spent the better part of a month there. Legwork, phone calls, more legwork. It didn't go for nothing. December 13th, I took the train back to Cleveland. Next morning, I checked in with Captain Rogers, in charge of homicide.
Hello, Chuck. How'd it go? Good trip?
Tired. I think we made the grade, Captain.
Mm-hmm. What's the story?
I got enough here to start a novel. Here's page one.
Yeah?
Mr. Henderson's business partner, Myron Hoffman. He's from New York, all right. He's got a record there long as your arm. Bunko, forgery, narcotics, grand theft, robbery, everything but murder. Here's a collection of his mugshots.
None of them too recent.
No, I know. That's the only drawback. Last one taken 12 years ago. That's pretty interesting, though. Here, take a look at those profile shots.
Yeah. All the difference in the world.
See? Left side of his face. How about that, huh? Looks pious enough to pass for a saint.
Huh. Queer one.
Put it next to his right profile shot of him. You'd swear it wasn't the same man.
Looks like the worst thief in the world.
Not a bad advantage, huh? Saint on one side, thief on the other, two on one.
Well, what does it mean?
All right, let me lay out the rest of it. Now, this Hoffman's nephew, John Mueller, he used that George Gallagher alias.
Yeah.
I found his sister. She told me she hasn't seen her brother for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a flyer. I got the name of Mueller's dentist from his sister, looked him up, showed him the bridge work we took off the skeleton. He identified it. He made it for John Mueller, Gallagher, 5 years ago.
All right. Well, where does that leave us?
I'm still guessing.
Now, nobody gives up their bridge work, not without a struggle, anyway. I think we got another body to look for.
Yeah, fair guess. Hoffman and his nephew killed Henderson. Then Hoffman killed the nephew, took his bridge work, planted it on Henderson's body, and buried it. Anything to throw us off the track.
That's my guess.
The owner of the laundry, Myron Wagner, that story of his about the blonde kid, the shovel, blood on his hand, kind of makes a liar out of him, doesn't it?
No big change.
What do you mean?
He was a liar long before we met him. December 15th, my birthday, 1 year, right to the day. I left the office, got in a car, and drove to the south end of the city. I pulled up in front of the same gray house, got out, and walked up the stairs to the front door. The name on the mailed box was still the same, Myron J. Wagner. He answered the door himself, ushered me into the same dimly lighted living room. He was calm, relaxed, perfectly at ease.
It was very good of you to come, Lieutenant Palachek. The early evening, good time to visit.
Well, it's not a social call, Mr. Wagner. A few things I want to talk to you about. You want to get your hat and coat?
My hat and my coat? What is it you mean?
Well, we want you downtown, Mr. Wagner. A couple of questions we'd like to ask.
Questions? About the Gallagher boy, you mean? I told you everything the last time you were here, Lieutenant Palachek.
Now, look, Mr. Wagner, this happens to be my birthday. I got a family. I want to get home early tonight. I'll put it straight to you.
Put it straight?
Yeah, I'll draw you a road map. Now, for a whole year, I've been pounding my feet east, west, and south in the city and out of it. I'm not a smart cop, mister, but I can still put one and one together. It adds up to you, Wagner. Now, how about the hat and coat?
It adds up to me, Lieutenant Palachek. I don't think I understand.
Number one, your name's Myron Hoffman, not Myron Wagner. We've got your mug shots, your prints, and exemplars of your handwriting from New York to prove it. Number two, you killed Albert Henderson and buried him in the basement of that building where you had your laundry. And besides that, it's odds on, you killed your nephew, too.
You assume this, or you have proof? Which one?
90% proof. Your hair, Wagner, I'll bet on it. Same kind that was planted on Henderson's body. Same color, same texture. There's a bum bet, mister, right from the start. Why'd you try?
You want me to get my coat?
Yeah, I'll go with you. Yeah. Hey, I'm just curious, Wagner. You want to turn on the overhead lights?
Hey, yes. Uh-huh. My face. Is that it?
Lord. Good Lord.
There are two sides to a face, Lieutenant. Look at both of them. You will find one of them is good.
We better get your coat.
Just one thing. My friend Henderson, my nephew John.
Yeah?
As you say, just as you say, a bum bet. I even tried.
Hey, Wagner. What's the matter? Wagner! Deputy coroner got there a half an hour later. He ran a fast check on Wagner, and he put his money on a heart attack. The autopsy confirmed it. Later on, I tried to explain what it was like. I mean, standing there and watching Wagner's life suddenly drop out of him. He turned to stop at the door when his hands went up to his chest. I reached for him, but not in time. He straightened out on the floor. That's when I noticed his face. The left side. The side that made him look like a saint. It was changing in front of my own eyes. The whole face, the whole side of it, fading all into one. Like a thick brown stain over the skin. The same look as the right side of the face. Dirty, dark, twisted. It was all there. It was frozen into his eyes and his mouth. All the evil in the world in one face. I saw it happen. I saw it with my own eyes.
Suspense. A true story presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Mr. Lloyd Nolan. This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for Autolite, world's largest independent manufacturer of automotive electrical equipment. Autolite is proud to serve the greatest names in the industry. They are members of the Autolite family, as well as other 98,000 Autolite distributors and dealers in the United States and thousands more in Canada and throughout the world. Our family also includes the nearly 30,000 men and women in 28 great Autolite plants from coast to coast and Autolite plants in many foreign countries. Every Autolite product is backed by constant research and precision built to the highest standards of quality and performance. So remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite. Next week, the story about a group of brave men who risked their lives in a desperate effort to save their fellow men. The true story entitled Arctic Rescue. Our star, Mr. Joseph Cotton. That's next week on Suspense. Suspense is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed by Lucian Morowick and conducted by Lud Bluskin. The Man with Two Faces was adapted for Suspense by James Moser from the recent book Alan Hines' Murder. Featured in tonight's cast were Jeanette Nolan, Martha Wentworth, Tom Tully, Ralph Sedan, Joseph Kearns, Lou Merrill, and Eddie Fields. Remember, next week, Joseph Cotton in Arctic Rescue.
Spark plugs, Autolite stay full batteries, and Autolite electrical parts at your neighborhood Autolite dealers. Switch to Autolite. Good night.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
You've been troubled. You've been broke, you've been hungry, no job, no money. The one you love has deserted you. That makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue. Right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.
He feels about it. Blues ain't nothing but a man, good man feeling bad. No, that's all that is.
Hey, it's Cynthia from the Bike Kitchen. We moved, but we are still nearby. The Bike Kitchen is now located on East Mall in the trailer between Irving, Cape Barber, and Brock Hall. Come down and check out our selection of used bikes, work on your bike with our tools, or get a tune-up by one of our pro mechanics. We have a 1 or 2 day turnaround on all tune-ups. Check out our website, thebikekitchen.com, for more information about our services and prices.
Do you enjoy singing, drumming, and spending time in a good environment? Then SFU's Vancity Office of Community Engagement and SFU's Office of Aboriginal Peoples are inviting you to join the singing and drumming workshops. Led by Russell Wallace, a composer, producer, and traditional Lil Wat singer, Salish singing and drumming workshops are free and open to everyone. Join Russell on October 18th, November 22nd, and January 12th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Gold Corp Center for the Arts, located on 149 West Hastings Street. For more information, visit sfuwoodwards.ca or find Salish Singing and Drumming Workshops on Facebook. Invite your friends.
And you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM here in Vancouver. My name is Brian McDonald, and that was The Man with Two Faces and Episode 9, or at least the first part of Episode 9 of Rainbow Demons. Coming up in a moment or so, we will have Canada Post Rock with John. So from all of us here, please have a safe and happy weekend. And please refrain from having a Merry Christmas until next week.
What's up, UBC? Looking to try something new and exciting this year? Then check out UBC Sailing Club. Our club offers lessons in year-round exclusive.